Go ahead and leave your Bibles open to Judges chapter 16. It is a beautiful Lord's Day morning. I appreciate the presence of each and every one of you here this morning, and the fact that you have taken the time to be here demonstrates some things about you that I think are important. You have a desire to worship and serve God. And it is our goal here this morning, as it is every time we come together, to do nothing more than to glorify and honor our Father in heaven, our Creator. And I pray that we have done that for Him this morning, and we'll continue to do that through the remainder of our time together today. If you look at the screen right now, you see the title of this lesson, and you see that it actually comes from Judges chapter 16. And I have verses 4 through 6 up here, not the entire chapter, and you didn't have the entire chapter read to you, but we'll be looking at bits and pieces of the entire chapter, chapter 16. But I want you to go back for just a moment to verse 4 through 6. And I want you to reread those again and notice that as what's happening, there is a conflict. Samson, we know what he is, and he is one of the last judges that come out of Israel. And he is one that has been used by God to show God's strength and God's power and to restore Israel to faithfulness. He's been used in that manner. We also know a little bit about Samson and the fact that not only was he just a strong man, physically strong individual, he was an individual that we learn, especially from this text this morning, that his strength came from God. It wasn't that Samson was just one of those bodybuilders that had gone into the gym and done all the work himself. He had been given a vow. He had taken a vow. And it was stated in here when we find out what would happen to him if his head was shaved. He would lose his strength. And we know that he had taken what was called, we commonly call a Nazarite vow, and because he says he's a Nazarite in this text. But it was that which was a sign between him and God, that God was with him. And it was God that provided him with the enormous strength that he had. We also know that when you think about all of those things, Samson, if you read the entire story or the entire account of his life, he was a proud individual. He was one that was, it seemed to be a risk taker. He was one that, though, was not only was he full of pride, but he was also an individual that was full of lust. And eventually what would take place in his life is he would succumb to his personal desires. I truly believe that when you look at the life of Samson here within in the context of the Judges, that what we learn are some valuable lessons of what sin actually does to us. Not just the temptations that lead us to sin, but the desire that we implement in our own lives that leads us to that. And so I think there are three things in particular that we're taught by Samson in this eventful story. And I think you probably have heard all of these before, and maybe some read them somewhere online. But it doesn't negate what I believe the truthfulness of what each point will be today. And I want you to take into consideration that he didn't always do the right thing. God didn't always use people that simply did the right thing all the time. And Samson would have been one of those individuals. We look at David all the time. We consider him as being a great king of Israel, and Israel looks up to him. But before David became king, Samson was a leader that God had chosen. So this morning, I want to tell you three things that sin will do to you based on what we learned from Samson. And the first of which is that it takes you farther than you want to go. Sin does this in people's lives. It doesn't matter where you are in your life right now. If you are ensnared in sin, it has drug you off farther than you intended to go. And how it sometimes begins is that simple flirtation with temptation. Sometimes we want to see how close we can get to sin and not sin. We want to see, you know, it's like me sometimes. I move around up here in the pulpit and I can sit my toes over the edge of this. If I'm not careful, what's going to happen? I'm going to fall down. I may lose my balance and fall and really hurt myself. I watched some videos or some things on the news here recently of some musicians that were running around stage and one of them fell off and broke his leg because he forgot where he was. Sometimes what happens when we're flirting with temptation in our lives, we're forgetting who we are and whose we are. We're forgetting where we are in our lives. But we think about what took place in the reading this morning. Three times, Samson is asked, where does your strength come from? Three times, he gives a somewhat of a flippant answer to Delilah. And you look at it and you say, well, let's use these bowstrings that are wet, they're going to be strong, but they're not going to be as strong as Samson, and he knows that. But what it leads up to is failure on his part. Not only were the bowstrings, he suggested new ropes. Well, these are new ropes that have never been used before. Bind me with those. And what happens with each occasion? Not only with the new ropes and the weaving of his hair into the loom, each time Delilah rises up and says, the Philistines are upon you. Now, we know about the Philistines, don't we? We know that they are an enemy of the children of Israel, and they not only are an enemy now during this time period, but they remain a thorn in the flesh of the children of Israel for years and years, beyond Samson even. But God has always provided Israel with victory. And the victories were always based upon their faithfulness. And Samson is now standing with his feet over the edge, drawing himself closer and closer to succumbing. And understand this, Delilah doesn't force him to tell her what or how to lose his strength. But she does entice him. Samson has to make the decision. We mentioned this in the Bible class in the auditorium this morning for the simple fact that we need to understand sin is always a personal choice. It's something we choose to do. We were talking about the helmet of salvation. Think about Samson's hair was his helmet of salvation at this particular time. He did not have to lose it. Delilah wasn't going to figure it out on her own. He forfeited his strength. And you see what happens. Why do people in our society today, in our culture today, where we live now, why do they succumb to addictions? Because they flirt with it at first, thinking that it's not going to grab them, it's not going to ensnare them. Why? You know, we might think of it as simple flirtation in the office. We might think of it as just telling an off-color joke every now and then. We might think that the slip of our tongue is not such a bad thing, but it doesn't represent God when we do things like that. And so we're not any better than what Samson is, because what we're doing is we're flirting with it. And even though you think about this, she repeated the process over and over and over again. She nagged him, is what some individuals might say. And finally, he succumbs to his own desires. And let me suggest this, it was because he loved her. We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But it was because he loved her. He made the choice to tell her a secret that nobody else knew but God. Said, no razor has come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. I can only imagine how old Samson might be at this particular time and how long his hair actually is, having never had it cut. But that's where his strength lied. And it wasn't the hair that provided the strength. It was the faithfulness that he demonstrated toward God by not cutting it. You consider this as he continues to flirt. He did it all for the love of a woman. And I want you to think about this for a minute. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Solomon wrote this long after Samson had died. But in Proverbs chapter 6, Solomon gives some wise words to his son. He says, "My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and a law, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life." How many men have we seen, public life, private life, where we've been where they've been seduced, and it has cost them greatly? It's going to cost Samson some things here in a little bit. But you think about this. It took him farther than he wanted to go. He did not need to reveal this. He should not have revealed this to her. But he did it because all of a sudden, she flipped the table on him and said, "You know, how can you say I love you and your heart is not with me?" Men, how many times has your wife or your girlfriend walked up to you and said, "You know, if you love me, you'll do this for me"? Cindy never does that to me. Never. No. And she knows every time she pulls that card out, I'm going to get out of my recliner. I'm going to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to moan and I'm going to groan a little bit. But she'll know. She knows I'll do it for her. And believe me, the opposite is equally true, because she's not the only one that plays that card. Men, we've done it before too. But you think about him now. He's everything that Samson has gone through in his life has led to this point. It has led him to actually put his desires ahead of everything else in his life. And now he's told, "If you love me, you're going to tell me." Did he have to tell her? Absolutely not. He said, "You know," he could have just simply said, I'm through with the games. We're not going to do this anymore. You really don't need to know. This is between me and my God." But that's not what he did, is it? And I have to admit, Ron, it is odd to see her sitting over here. I'm still struggling with that even now. But you think Samson, for just a moment, he's struggling internally because of what's taking place. And he says, "I don't want to disappoint her. I've got to..." And he tells her everything there. There's a Latin phrase that is used, adverte oculis. Means, turn away your eyes. And literally, it has a meaning also that we look at and we think about controlling our eyes. We pay attention to where our eyes are actually looking. He didn't do that. And what Samson is a very good example of in our lives, he provides a warning for us. It doesn't say warning everywhere, but this is exactly what it is. How many of you remember watching Lost in Space when it was on TV? Most of us in the auditorium here are old enough to remember Lost in Space. Not everybody, I understand that. But Lost in Space, when it came out on the TV series, had this awkward robot-looking creature, and Will Robinson, the young child. How many of you remember that show, that when Will Robinson got in or looked like he was going to get into trouble or there was trouble approaching, this robot just all of a sudden speaking up, "Danger, Will Robinson"? Well, Samson is doing that for us today. He's letting us know that if you look at my example, you need to understand, don't assume that you can handle temptation by yourself. Because eventually, if you try to do it on your own, especially without God, you're going to ignore the danger signs. You're going to ignore the warnings. And here what you see is just this. He couldn't handle Delilah and what she said to him. James chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15 says it this way. But each one of us, each one is tempted when he is drawn away, not by a Delilah, not by just a woman, by his own desires. What is within you? What makes it easy to become addicted to alcohol or to drugs, to sin? Because believe me, I believe sin is just as much addicting as any chemical that you can put in your body. It's because your own desire has enticed you to that point. And what does this, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And what we see throughout Scripture is the consequences for sin is ultimately death. We even see that in the case of Samson. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But what you've seen in this right now is it's taken Samson further than he ever intended to go. The lust that he sought after this beautiful woman, the desire for her, that uncontrollable craving. That's exactly what it became. It became an uncontrollable craving for her. And it controlled him all the way to giving up his secret. Romans chapter 6. If you'll turn over there in Romans chapter 6, you can see that in verse 12, that's what takes place. You consider the Apostle Paul talking about the new birth, rising to walk in newness of life in this chapter. But you look at verse 12, says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Never having experienced chemical addiction like some people have, but listening to them describe it as something that controls them, that's exactly what sin does. When we let it reign in our lives, what that means, it becomes the ruler of our lives. It takes over those lusts, those desires. Paul follows that very same thing then in Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 7 and going through the end of the chapter, when he talks about doing those things, or knowing what he should do and not doing it, knowing what he shouldn't do and still doing it. And then he comes to the point and says, oh, wretched man that I am. He understood what it took place in a life. Its desire brings forth sin, and sin brings forth death. Let's demonstrate this a little bit further now with Samson. Because not only does sin take you farther than you want to go, it keeps you a whole lot longer than you ever intended to stay. You get so wrapped up in it, it makes you its slave. Sin has a way of grabbing hold of you. It has a way of making you its instrument. Instead of you being that instrument of righteousness that you're supposed to be as a child of God, and if you go back to Romans chapter 6, I should have left my Bible open to that. Romans chapter 6, you go back there and you look again, beginning at verse 12, and we're going to read down through verse 14. It said, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, but you should obey, that you should obey its in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. something took control of Samson. The very same thing that can take control of our lives when it comes to sin. It becomes its own powerful force in our lives, and if we're not careful, it can consume us. We, instead of being children of God, then we become the instrument of unrighteousness. And Paul's encouragement to the church of Rome is basically, don't allow this to happen. You have already received, been saved by the grace of God. You've been baptized and buried to walk in newness of life. And he says twice within that chapter, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And both times he will say, absolutely not. Certainly not. Don't allow it to control you. But see what you see what happens now with Samson. What the lust, the desire that Samson had, not only did it enslave his heart, but ultimately it enslaves him physically. When his head is shaven, he loses his strength. I want you to go back to Judges chapter 16 for just a moment. And I want you to look at verse 20 and what happens. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. He didn't know that he'd lost his strength. And here's the thing. Sometimes we go through life because it's taken us farther than we want it to do. It's enslaved us. It has become our master. It has become willful on our part that we don't realize. We think everything is just fine the way it is. And Samson thought everything was just fine the way it was. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 talks about willful sin. Romans chapter 6, going back to verse 16, talks about, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves? Whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Samson had been delivered all of his life because he'd remained faithful to God, kept that vow to God. God used him for Israel because of that. And now all of a sudden, he has been enslaved. God has departed from him. And not only does God depart from him, but verse 21 says, then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters and he became a grinder in the prison. I can guarantee you, Samson never envisioned being enslaved like this. Never once. Even through all the flirtation that with temptation that he did, he never thought he'd see himself enslaved like this. Because what it did is it took him farther than he wanted to go, and then it kept him longer than he ever intended to stay. What we need to understand, and we need to know who the devil is. We need to understand and know that what he is waiting to do is find someone that is weak enough to devour them. Samson was devoured right here because of weakness. And he stayed longer than he ever intended. See, we think that it's innocent fun sometimes. Just fun and games. Because that's all. That you look at what took place here in chapter 16. It was fun and games for Samson, wasn't it? And sometimes that's the way we look at it. It's just fun and games. But you will not. You will be there much longer than you ever anticipated. Why? Because fun and games are fun, aren't they? And that's the allurement of sin. It's not meant to look ugly. It's not meant to look unpleasant. It's not meant to say you'll get no gratification out of this at all. It's all of those things and more. And Samson could have been thinking in his own mind, all right, if I just tell her, she's going to be nice to me, we're going to fall in love, and we're going to live happily ever after. But he played the fun and games game. And he fell into her snare. He fell into the snare of the Philistines. And what we can do is find ourselves enslaved by the snare of sin if we're not careful. And so, the advice is to flee from Satan. Be aware of his devices. We've been talking about the armor of God on Sunday mornings in the Bible class in the auditorium. It's put on the whole armor of God. In verse, what says in chapter 6 and verse 13, the last part there, having done all to stand. Samson, up to this point, had done all to stand, but for some reason, he decided he didn't need the armor. We cannot lay the armor aside. We must continue daily fighting the spiritual battle for our souls. And not only will it keep you longer than you ever intended to stay, it's going to cost you more than you ever intended to pay. It's just a cheap thrill. You ever anybody describe things like that? Just a cheap thrill. Sin is not a cheap thrill. Sin is costly. Sin will keep you or enslave you. It will make you do things you never intended to do, but it will cost you more than you ever thought it will. Because the price of sin is so extremely high. It cost Samson his strength. Because he was unable to fight off the Philistines after this. It not only cost Samson that, it cost Samson something even greater. The fellowship that he had with God. Because you go back and you look at verse 20, the Lord had departed from him. That's how high this was. And not only did it cost him there, eventually, it will cost him his life. Now, I will say this about this. That was the physical consequence that he suffered. There is a point here in this story, which we're really not dwelling much on, that I believe Samson is repentant over what he has done. But in verse 30, then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." You go back, let's go back to verse 28. Samson called to the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me." And remember where he is now. He's on public display among the Philistines. He says, Samson called the Lord, saying, "O Lord God, remember me. I pray, strengthen me. I pray just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple. And he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he pushed with all his might. And the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. He still lost his life. There was a physical consequence that came along with it. But God allowed him that last wish, if you want to call it that. The hair had started to grow back. Samson knew what he had done was wrong. And now he's asked the Lord, "Allow me to do this one thing." And really, again, where did his strength come from? It did not come from within. It came from God. But all of this took place because he allowed it to happen. And so we need not ever think that we can afford sin. Because we can't. How do I know? Well, we see it in our day and time today. What sin does to people. It has cost people greatly. Sin destroys relationships personally, in the home. It destroys friendships. That's the power of sin in an individual's life. It can overpower those relationships, those strong relationships that you think can never be broken. Sin can sever them because of the choices that we make. When we think about sin in this way, it destroys the influence that you have as a child of God. We're talking about the Christian's influence on the first Sunday of every month this year. And you think about the influence that you would have as a child of God, or would lose as a child of God. And really, you really don't lose influence. You have two types of influence. You have good influence or bad influence. And all this does is it, you lose the good, but you keep the bad as long as you decide to be a slave to sin. And let me suggest this. It doesn't matter. I've talked about addiction briefly and not really gone into it. But forget about addiction. Forget about alcoholism. Forget about drug addiction. Think about addiction to lying. Just that one little thing, that lying all the time. Because we mentioned this Wednesday night in the Bible class, sin is sin. It doesn't matter. We may classify sin. We may put big, you know, asterisks beside certain types of sin today, but sin is still sin to God. And it doesn't matter whether it's a lie or whether it's drunkenness or whether it's adultery or whatever the list of sins that you find throughout the Scripture. It doesn't matter which one it is. You can become just as enslaved to what we might call the little white lie as anything else. And it will destroy your influence. It will destroy God's special people if it's allowed to remain. Sin can destroy a nation. But it destroys fellowship. I think of all the things that was said in Judges 16, that one phrase in verse 20, he did not know the Lord had departed from him. And the reason he didn't know the Lord had departed from him, he didn't recognize the fact that he had left him first. And that's the problem. We talked about the helmet of salvation this morning, and no one can take that away from you, but you can forfeit it yourself. Samson forfeited the fellowship he had with God. Sin, the choice of sin in our lives, we forfeit that fellowship with God when we continue to become a slave to it. Sin costs us more than we ever desired to pay. Three things sin will do to you. It will take you farther than you ever wanted to go. It will keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. And it will cost you more than you ever thought you'd have to pay. Now, there's some good news. We don't have to be that way. And the best news about that is God has provided something for us. He has provided a sacrifice through His Son, Jesus Christ. Blood was shed so that you and I do not have to remain slaves to sin. He provided a way out. You remember we talk about it takes you farther than you wanted to go, keeps you longer than you wanted to stay, costs you more. Here's the thing. God took care of all of that for us in sending His only begotten Son into this world to die for our sins. So that basically what you might say is He's provided the escape clause for us. He's provided that way of escape not only to become a new child of God, but when we are children of God, when we fall into the snare of sin again, He's provided the means by which we can reconcile to Him. We don't have to allow the destruction of the soul. We don't have to allow the destruction of relationships. We don't have to lose fellowship with God. But be faithful to Him. If you never obeyed the gospel, the blood that Jesus Christ shed on that cross is for you so that you can receive forgiveness of sins through faith, believing that he is the Son of God, repenting of those sins, confessing it before men, and being baptized for the remission of your sins so that you can rise and walk in newness of life. And then you don't have to ask the question, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? Because that newness of life reveals to you that no, you don't continue in sin. What we're commanded to do after we're baptized is to be faithful until death. Faithfulness. That's something we're going to talk about tonight. God's call to faithfulness. We'll talk about that a little bit more then. But remain faithful till we die, and you will receive a crown of life, a crown of righteousness, a victorious crown. And you'll spend your eternity with God and the Father and His Son. If you're erring as a child of God, reconcile your life to Him this morning. Come back to Him. Samson did, apparently, right there before he ultimately lost his physical life. It's not too late. God will restore fellowship with him, but you have to be willing to reconcile to him his way. Confess your sin to him. He will be faithful and just to forgive you of that sin. 1 John chapter 1 expresses that. But remember who you are and whose you are as a child of God. And don't allow sin to take over. You're subject to the Lord's invitation. Won't you come? It's together we stand and as we sing.